Good morning. And I started with this, you know, good morning. Chosen generation, royal priesthood. Good morning, holy nation. Good morning, people of God's own choosing.
You know, good morning.
Good morning. If you are in Christ, that's who you are. Amen. You are a special person, a special people to God, both individually and as a family. And let me say thank you, and in particular, thank you to the ladies. As you know, yesterday was the funeral for John Taft. And boy, what a work the ladies of the church have done.
Amen.
You know, you come here and you see the work that the ladies do, and you say, yeah, you know, this is my people. This is my church. So thank you. Thank you, ladies. Yeah, really appreciate it. I know that the Taft family, I really appreciate that too. So thank you all. Okay, so let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with our study on First Peter. Lord God, we just want to thank you and praise you that you are a good God and that you are good all the time, Lord. And what you seek, Lord, in your people and the people how you have chosen, Lord, as we continue to study, Lord, is that we may be a people of holy conduct, Lord, so that you will be glorified. So work in our hearts, Lord. Teach us the lessons that you have us learn today, Lord, with the ultimate goal, Lord, to bring glory to you. We ask in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. And we are continuing our study on First Peter. Albert asked me early, he said, Vince, when are you going to finish? My answer was, yes, one day. But we continue our study through 1 Peter. Peter is writing to a people who are in a position of exiles, not because they are foreign to the land, not because they come from a different country, but because now they have a new citizenship, and their citizenship is in heaven. They are a heavenly people. They are a holy nation. They are a royal priesthood. They are God's chosen special people. And because of that, they have certain privileges because they belong now to the family of God. But, you know, when there are privileges, there are also responsibilities. And we've been in a section that talks about the responsibilities that believers have while we live on this earth that is not our home territory. We are looking forward to go home. And one verse that summarizes that leads into that, not summarizes, is found here in the Second Peter, First Peter chapter 2. And that's what Peter is working from. He goes on to say, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, you know, you're not from this area. You're not from this world. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." You know, there is always a battle between the flesh and the soul of person, between the inner man and the outer man, right? The inner man wants to do what God wants to do. The inner man is being renewed. He's being strengthened by the word of God in the fellowship of believers through the teaching of the word, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And the flesh is continually being encouraged by the world. All right? That's what it appeals to. Right? And there is always this tension between what the world has to offer and what God is working in the heart of man. Having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, right? That they, when they speak against you as evildoers, they're going to make accusations. But what's going to silence the accusation of those who do not like believers? What's going to silence is your good works, your honorable conduct. So when they see our behavior, our honorable conduct, they say, eventually God will be glorified out of that. Isn't that something, right? And Peter has been talking about this honorable conduct of believers in two contexts that we saw. We saw the honorable conduct of believers as it relates to government. We have already seen that. And what was the key word for believers as they relate to the government? What is the operating word in how believers honor God in relationship to government?
Submit.
Somebody said?
Submit.
Yeah, is it submission? Yeah, that's what Peter said, right? Submit to the governing authorities, right? Then he talks to people that are in a different class. They're not the free men and women of the society, but are those who find themselves in a position of slavery. They can also honor God by their honorable conduct. And the operating word that Peter uses to describe that honorable conduct is what? Submit. I think that Peter is beginning to develop a pattern here, right? So now today we're going to be in another group that Peter is going to address. And, you know, this group is always a challenge to teach by a man. But challenges are good. So I was glad to see that I only saw one person bringing some vegetables in this morning. And I think it was Mark Capello who had a bag with some tomatoes and stuff like that. And he's outside, so I'm okay. Nobody's going to throw tomatoes to me, right? But today, we're going to see the text in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Peter is going to address honorable conduct in the family, in particularly honorable conduct in marriage. And what do you think the operating word is there? Yeah, that will be the right guess. Yeah, the idea is submit. And before we get into the text, let me say something to you that struck me, okay, as I was studying this text. And that is the importance, in particular, this for young people. For young people who claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ. For young women who claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ. For young men to claim the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the importance that you marry a believer. Okay? Because there are some challenges that we are going to see today in the text. And when there is an unbelieving husband or an unbelieving wife, okay? God expects order in the family. God wants the family of believers to bring honor to him. So when the outsiders are looking at it, they say, wow, look at that family. Look how that wife relates to her husband. Look how the husband relates to the wife. You know, I teach that Peter writes like a married man, right? He gives 6 verses to the women and 1 to the men. Yeah. Right. But even in a small quantity as given to men, there is a lot there, right? And so, but lady, as we study, we begin this study, you have a particular challenge posed before you in the first 6 verses. And that is that you glorify God in how you relate to your husband. Okay? And we are going to see that Peter starts right off the bat with that idea of submission, okay? So we good with that? We got to be. It's in the Word. All right, who would like to read that for us? I'd like it to be a woman, Miss Linda. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 6.
Right.
For in this manner, the former times, the infant times, the holy woman who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid of any
terror. Okay, let me ask you a question. How popular do you think that a text like this is in today's culture?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah, you know. You're not going to hit anybody on CNN, MSNBC, or the really conservative station, Fox News. Right? Or anybody to say, well, you know, this is what God's standard is. For the family, this is in particular what God's standard is for the woman as she relates to her husband. This is how the wife brings glory to God, how she exalts the Lord God. Okay, so he begins there by stating the exhortation. You know, likewise, wives, your honorable conduct, you know, is likewise, right? So they likewise look at to this honorable conduct that a woman has. And it says to submit. Okay. The word submit is not a word of quality. It's a word of role. It's a word of order. It doesn't mean inferiority. It means a difference in role. Many of you have been in the military. There is it's a military word, actually. And in the military, it says, you know, there is a ranking order. It doesn't mean that the officer is better than the enlisted person. It doesn't mean that the colonel is smarter than the major, or that the master sergeant is more intellectual than the senior airman. No, it has nothing to do with value. It has nothing to do with capacity. It has nothing to do with intellect. It all has to do with role. They serve in a different role. Now, the reason this is in particularly important to a Christian woman, and a single Christian woman at this point, if you're married, it's important to you, but in particular that, because we need to understand, ladies, you need to understand that when a woman enters into a marriage relationship, she's entering by default into a relationship that calls for the status of submission. It comes with a role. Right. So I always like to say sometimes to people, you know, if you do not respect, oh, let me say it this way, talking to the girls, right? You know, if you do not respect your boyfriend now, you will not respect him when you're married. Boyfriend, if your girlfriend does not respect you now, she will not respect you when you're married. Years ago, I was talking to a young man on the base who was involved in a relationship with a woman who had been previously married and had a child. And so we were talking, and I asked him and said, if she had to choose between you and her son, who would she choose? What was his answer? Her son. What was my answer? That's not a woman for you. That's right. If she's not going to put the husband first in the relationship, and if the husband finds in a similar situation, and he's not going to put the wife first in their relationship, that's the wrong couple. And that's a recipe for problems in the future. Okay, so keep in mind, there are several institutions that God has established. He has established government. He has established the church. He has established the nation of Israel. And he has established marriage. And in marriage, it's the only one that says, and the two should be as one. You know, my relationship with the government is not as one. But my relationship with my wife is. So I better be careful how I relate to my wife, right? And ladies, better be conscious of how you also relate to your husband. Okay. So it's the idea there of submission. Then it says, who should the wife submit to?
Her own husband.
Her own husband. You know, Peter could have said, wife, submit to your husband. And that would have been fine. But somehow, he added the word own. Why? Any thoughts? Paul does that also in Ephesians. He doesn't do that in Colossians, but he does the same thing in Ephesians. Any thoughts on that?
We see it a lot today, where women get so confused as to what man she should be submissive to.
Yeah. Who do I listen to? Do I listen to my boss? Do I listen to my father? Do I listen to... Who do I listen to? Well, if you are a married woman, it's your own husband. That's the God designed authority. So there is a belief that is there to emphasize that this is a really important relationship that the woman has and that her husband is the only headship that is there established by God, her own husband. And there is also a sense of ownership. You know, this is my husband. You know, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because this is my husband, you know, with a sense of honor, with a sense of pride, with a sense of obligation, you know. Yeah, I'm taking care of him. Why? Because this is my husband. Right. So thoughts or comments so far? Yes, Ms. Linda. Like me.
But you should still, God will honor it if you still stay honorable to him with his thoughts, his decisions. Am I right?
I did not understand
that.
Well,
he's not in complete compliance with what's going on. He says he's a little bit off in his thinking as far as, let's just use the church. And nothing major or anything.
Oh, so there is a disagreement, and you just happen to be right.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you honor my husband, God will honor me for doing that. Is that right?
You know, there is a communication that goes on between husband and wife, and that's good. There has to be that communication. I think what has to be is the tone, the intent, the matter of the heart, how that communication takes place. Yeah, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Okay. Yes, Adam. You mean you don't do that to your wife?
No. And if you don't, well, if you don't submit, you eventually would get kicked out of the military. You know, the wife's submission is not our responsibility for husbands to make them submit. It's something voluntary that they're going to do.
Right, and that's a good point. In the non-military sense, the word of submission is a voluntary act. And we are going to see, that's when we get to, but if you get to 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter connects the idea of submission with humility. So think about that. You know, submission is related to humility. It's putting the other person first. Jim.
A couple of thoughts here. First of all, that's not easy to do.
No. We'll get to that.
Okay, good. I'll be waiting.
Yeah, excellent. 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 Tom.
Vince, I read a very edifying article this morning.
Yeah.
And they have contempt for women that stay home, who become good housewives, who take care of their kids, and who have the audacity to actually submit to their husbands.
Yeah. I asked for permission this time, but I mentioned it a few weeks ago. Right? There was a discussion on Facebook. I don't see Facebook, so the reason that I am aware of this discussion is because my wife pointed out to me. I have Facebook, but I don't have any friends. Let's put it that way. But my wife was pointing out that there was a discussion going on about a certain lady here in the church, okay? And if you have Facebook, you know who it is, but I asked for permission. But she wanted to dye her hair, and her husband says, don't do that. So she didn't do it, and she posted that on Facebook, and then there was some discussions about that she should have done it anyways, right? And a comment was made, what a way to honor your husband. Wow, what a great example. What a great little thing that speaks volumes. And it spoke volume to the people out there. She honored her husband, right? Yes, Jen.
I think that, I'm sure you want to hear from a woman, right?
Yeah, and you're right. It's not a military thing, but the word has the military connotation. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I think a lot of times women don't understand that you do it because you love your husband.
Yeah. The idea of the military world, let me clarify that. It's not that the husband and the wife has to have this military relationship. It's that in the military, there is a ranking, and it has nothing to do, it has to do with role and not with value. And that's the idea here. It's an idea of role. Of function, not of value. And we are going to see that as we move on. Okay, we do have to move on. And then she says, look at here a little bit more. To your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word of God. Okay, ladies, you know, you just happen to be an unbeliever and you marry an unbeliever. And then at times went by, the Lord worked in your heart and you came to know the Lord. So now you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your husband is a heathen. So how are you going to win him? That's what I think. Yeah, yeah, that doesn't work, right? Yeah. It says here, and we'll see a few scriptures later on. I'm not sure if I'll turn that now. No, I'll come up in verse 3 and 4. But, yeah, it says, without saying a word. It's all about behavior. You know, this guy is going to be unreasonable. Maybe he's not. I know some ladies in the church here that are married to unbelieving husband, and the man is very honorable sometimes in those cases. That's praise the Lord for that. But it may not be. Right? And there may be some demands that I put on, okay? Some expectation. I say, man, you know, I'm going to have a talk with my husband because, you know, the word of God says, you know what, he's an unbeliever. Needs to start with salvation, that, you know. But here it says, without a word. Okay, here is my joke. I know this is tough for women. Right? Yeah, why does Peter say without a word? Because it can be a problem for women to be quiet. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. Right? Yeah, Peter says, without a word, because, yeah, no more need to say anything else here before I get in trouble.
Where are those tomatoes?
Where are the tomatoes? That's correct. Yeah, without a word, right? No preaching, no nagging, no contradicting. Just, if you want to have a conversation, that's fine. But at the end of the day, if the husband says, you know, I'm going to put the air conditioner in this window and not on that window. Then she says, I think it will look really good there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's okay. All right. And then he goes on to talk about how winsome this attitude that may be won by the conduct of their wife. You know, the great influence that a woman has over her husband is not her good looks. It's not her money. It's not her cooking. But it's her conduct, her behavior, how she respects him, how she submits to him, how she gives him preference. Right? I work in an environment that I hear certain women talk about their husbands, and then they tell me what their husbands do, and I'm thinking, come on, what do you expect? You know, I've been sitting here for 15 minutes, and you're telling me how terrible your husband is? Don't do that. It's your husband, right? Or the husband's talking about the wives. You know, don't do that. This is your wife. Huh? Take care of each other. Protect each other. Anyways, so that she may, in order, it says, in order that even they are disobedient to the word, on account of the wife's conduct, without a word, they may be won. Let me see if I have a slide here. Yeah. No, that's not it. We'll come back to that. Okay. All right. Any questions or comments there? Oh, and goes on to say, when they observe, so what is the unbelieving husband doing?
Watching.
He's paying attention. He said, you know, you made a profession to Christ. Oh, so you are a Christian, right? Let me see it. Let me see. They're watching. They're watching. They're watching, right? And they may be won without a word, you know. When they see your conduct, you observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. The word here is respect. Okay, it has the sense of respect. Okay, chaste, pure, holy conduct and respect. What is attractive? You know what man wants more than anything else for him, from his wife?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Respect. That's the number one thing that man wants from his wife. Respect. And that respect is shown how?
Submission.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, do not let your adornment be merely. I tell you, in the Greek, the word merely is not there. So do not let your adornment be, should be a space, outward, arranging of the hair, wearing a gold, or putting on a fine apparel. You know, so here is not talking about necessarily that it's wrong for a woman to dress nice, right? But if a woman is looking for a wow factor based on the way that she looks, she's looking for the wow factor via the wrong means, right? Yeah. She's looking through the wow factor. You know, wow, look at her, right? And they come to church and say, wow, look at her. It's the wrong wow. You know, guys tend to howl when they see a good looking, woo. No, that's the wrong response, right? The wow factor is what? It's that chaste conduct. And a respectful conduct, right? Rather than the outward appearance. And I must say, you know, if I may, I got in trouble one time, but that's okay. Sometimes it's worth saying even when you get in trouble. Ladies, young and old, watch the way you're dressed. Watch the way you're dressed. You know, I like to see cleavage, but only my wife's. Okay, I don't want to see any other woman's cleavage. Okay, so be sure that you dress yourself in a manner that is respectful toward your husband, sensitive to the other people. Right, your body belongs to your husband. And enough said. where were we at? But rather let it be, don't focus on the outward appearance. Don't focus. Look nice, but don't make the outward appearance the wow factor in your life. Okay? What is the wow factor? Let it be the hidden person of the heart. Which, you know, the external stuff is corruptible, but the inside, the heart, the person of the heart is incorruptible. A beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is what? Very precious to God. Now, you know, this is what God admires on a woman. God is not impressed by how many rings she's wearing, but how long the fingernails are. Right? God doesn't care. God is looking at the heart. And when God sees the beauty of the hidden person, a gentle and quiet spirit, God says, yes, she's got it. She's got it. This is a woman who's honoring me. This is a woman who's respecting her husband. This is a woman that when the people are going to, the culture says, yeah, you know, there is something different about these Christians. There is something different about these Christian women. Right? Yeah. A corruptible beauty and the gentle, quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. I had a few words. When things that are not precious. Okay? Things that are not precious. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Wow. All right? I think that that woman does not represent the gentle and quiet spirit. Right? And then, as a ring of gold in a swine's mouth, so it's a lovely woman. She looks good. Right? But what happens with the inner person? She lacks the internal beauty. She lacks discretion. She has what the world wants to look at, but does not have the things that God considers precious, and that's the inner person. Okay. Questions or comments? We got a little more to go, and then we got to talk about the guys for one verse. Yeah, we can do that. Yes, Tom.
Verse 3, that word merely,
that's not in the original. And again, I don't think that he's saying that women should not look nice. He's saying it's the focus. This is what God is looking at. This is what's going to make the difference in your husbands. Oh, yeah, you look nice, but you're a nag. So that's not what God is after. Yeah, good. Anybody else? Okay. Now, this comes to a difficult kind of text right here, right? Because Peter is going to give some examples or mention some example. And what he's going to show is going to say, you know, submission to the husband has been the characteristic of godly women since Sarah, forever. So he goes back to Sarah. He says, women, you know, there's more than one, and we are going to see, right? So he says, you know, the characteristic of the godly woman has always been the submission to her husband. And there are several, but he is going to focus on Sarah. Because Sarah was put, and again, the idea, it talks about it on the men, but when the woman is in a position of submission, as she is as a wife, she's in a vulnerable position. Okay? And that's what Abraham did with Sarah. Not once, but twice. We begin in Genesis chapter 12. Right after God makes Abraham the promise of the covenant, it says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. A few days later, a few verses later, Abraham finds himself in Egypt. And Abraham says to his wife, Sarah, you're good looking. And because you're good looking, my life is in danger. So I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to deceive the people. And tell them that you are my sister. Well, it's true that they were half brother and sister. Okay, but what was the intention of Abraham there? And what was the result of his intention? He put his wife in a vulnerable position. Right? She's my sister. Oh, I can have her. And that's what happened. Right? What did Sarah do?
She did as he told her.
And she did two things. She did as she was told, and what else did she do? She what?
Lied.
No. She probably did, yeah, in response to her husband. Yeah, she would have done that. I understand what you're saying. But that's not what I'm driving to. I'm sorry, Katie. What does the text say here? For in this manner, the former times, the holy women trusted in God. She's in a vulnerable position because her husband says to her, do this. She gets taken. She could have been violated, but she was not. Why? What happened?
God intervened.
She trusted in God, and God intervened. How many times did God do that for her? Twice. Chapter 20 in Genesis, Abraham says, you know, this worked once, it's got to work again. So he finds himself in a different place. The same situation, my wife is pretty. I'm going to be in trouble because they're going to kill me. Please lie. She does what her husband tells her. She's taken, is put in a vulnerable position. She's at risk of being violated. But she trusted in God. And what did God do? He delivered. In Genesis chapter 25, I believe it is. Like father, like son. Here is Isaac. Same thing. Rebecca, you're a pretty woman. My life is in danger. Say you are my sister. He puts his wife in a vulnerable position. She gets taken. What happens? God delivers. You know, ladies, in particular, if you're married to a person that's an unbeliever, you may be asked to do things that put you in a vulnerable position. That's why it's so important to make sure that you marry in the Lord. That you make sure that you marry a godly man, a man who's going to protect you. We'll see in a few minutes, right? That doesn't expose you to vulnerability. Okay? Praise the Lord that he's God and he was watching for the women, that the Lord was watching for Sarah, right? And just like Sarah and Rebecca, God protected her, right? And said that Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him in Lord, a title of respect, right? I'm not saying the ladies need to call their husbands Lord, but she's showing her respect to Abraham, you know, and saying, hey, yeah, I know some of you are looking at your wife and say, do you hear that? L-O-R-D. So as Sarah obeyed Abraham, call him in Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any fear. See? Sometimes your husband may say something to you, may ask you to do something, and you say, you are afraid. What is the response on that? Do good means do what you're supposed to do. That is, respect your husband, submit to him, and how you're to do that? Without fear. Meaning, trust in God. Trust in God. Questions or comments? I want to hear from the ladies. Yes, Miss Linda, I knew that I'd hear from you.
The first verse is talking about unsaved husbands. The last verse is talking about men of God.
Even a man of God like Abraham can do the wrong thing, can he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So God's going to be honorable to the woman. That's answering the question I asked before. You will be honorable to the woman.
Yeah. God promises that, you know, it's a trust him. Trust him, you know, without fear. Trust him. In our culture, this is very difficult. On any culture, right? The ladies are in a position of vulnerability. Yes, ma'am. Yes. We do, yeah. And when you put Christ first and you honor Christ, what do? You submit to your husband without fear. Right. All right. So let's move on. Let's get to the husband's side. There is one verse to the husband here. But this verse, we husband are not to take this lightly, okay, about what the Lord is saying. I put the New American Standard version here. Because the New American Standard reflects a little better. This is the New King James. The New American Standard reflects better the order of the words. Okay, in particular, here it says, "As with a weaker vessel, or with someone weaker." Say, "You husband, in the same way, what is the husband's honorable conduct?" The husband's honorable conduct here is looking two ways: to live with his wife in an understanding way. Okay, with discernment. Live with your wife with discernment, with knowledge of who she is, with knowledge of what she needs, right? Not only live because why? Because she is a weaker vessel. Okay? There's discussion about what it means to be a weaker vessel, and some take that to be in the sense that because she's a woman, she's physically weaker, right? Not as strong. I'll tell you one thing, I don't want to get in a wrestling match with my wife because she tickles. Okay, but that's a possibility. Okay, I take it that the better thought here is that the woman, by being a woman, she's in a position, and being the wife, she's in a position of vulnerability. So she's weaker in the sense that her position, she's vulnerable because of the position that she's in. And because she's vulnerable on that position, then her husband has to pay particular attention to her and take good care of her, okay? Live with your wife with knowledge, with understanding, because she is in the position of vulnerability. So you protect your wife, husband. Don't talk her down. Okay? Lift her up, encourage her, protect your husband. She's a woman. And then he says, and show her honor as a fellow. See her value. Show her honor. Value her. Okay? Because, you know, we may have different roles between husband and wife, but when it's all said and done, we are partners for life in the grace of God. You know, Ned, we are in this together. I know that Dwight and Janie say the same thing, right? Amen. We are in this together. So husband's wife, in this grace of life that God has given you, God has given us, you are in this together. Right? And Ephesians talks about how the husband said, no man hate his own body, but he loves it, he protects it. Right? You are in this together, or the grace of life. And then a caution to men, I'll speak on something that. Say, what happens if a man fails to be the godly man that he ought to be? If a man is not behaving to his wife in an understanding, discerning, carefully, considerate manner, if he's not valuing his wife as her partner in this life, what is the risk there? The line between him and heaven was lost. Okay, I don't have any bars. Right? That's what we do when we look at a cell phone. I can't communicate. I don't have any bars. Man is praying and he's saying, I don't have any bars. God says, I'm not listening to you, buddy. Go and fix your situation at home. Make sure that you take care of your wife. Okay, let me mention a couple of things. I'll mention four things I got. If we read in Ephesians chapter 5, okay, There are four things that the Lord, through Paul, tells the husband to do to his wife that fit in this area of understanding and honoring her. In Ephesians 5, gives the illustration of the church in Christ, and then it relates to the husband and wife. But so the first thing is that the husband ought to love the wife as what? Christ, love, the church. So the husband ought to provide a sacrificial love for his wife. Okay, honoring her, giving her priority, right? Sacrificial love. Then he says that he ought to wash her by the renewing of the word, right? What does that mean? Well, it means that the husband has a responsibility of spiritual care of his wife. He's the spiritual provider and the spiritual protector of the wife. We learn in other places, right, that says, wife, when you have a question, go to Dwight. No, says, ladies, when you have a question about your scriptures, who you go to? Go to your husband. Well, what if he doesn't know? Let him study. Say, get back to me in 2 weeks. Right? So the husband protects the wife as a sacrificial love. He's the spiritual protector and provider of the wife. And then Paul goes on to say that when a man is talking about the man in his body, he said, but he nourishes and cherishes it. Okay? In Ephesians chapter verses 28, 29, somewhere around there. So first it says that he nourishes. What does nourish mean? To feed. Okay? It's the body, you know, the physical needs of the body. So the husband provides for the physical needs of the wife. Okay? He protects her, he feeds her. Protects her spiritually, protects her physically, and then he says, and nourishes her, nourishes the body. What does nourish mean? You know, go to your wife, give her a hug and a kiss and say, honey, I love you. It means to celebrate your wife, to lift her up emotionally. So the husband loves the wife in a sacrificial manner. He provides for her spiritually and protects her spiritually. He provides and protects her physically. And he provides and protects for her emotionally. Right? And the woman will have that beauty, internal beauty of the heart. So we talked a little bit, 2 minutes too long. But what a great text that we as a marriage, couples, you know, can have before the world. The world is looking to godly couples. The wife, she will respect and submit to her husband. The husband will be considerate and honoring of the wife. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your grace and thank you for this lesson, Lord. May I walk this lesson, Lord. I see this in Jesus' name. Amen.